Support for the Front Row on FM 89.1 comes from the Community Foundation of West Texas and from Citibank. Citibank's wealth management team of advisors, private bankers, and trust officers help customers create personalized strategies to help connect with long-term goals. More information on Citibank Wealth Management is available at 806-687-2955. And from Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vast opportunities abound in art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by vastly talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts, vastly different. The Texas Tech University Orchestra will present a concert this weekend in Himley Recital Hall featuring one of the seminal works in all of the literature, Igor Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. That's one of the works on this weekend's concert. We'll have all the details and an interview with Philip Mann, conductor of the orchestra, on today's program. I hope you can stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we are in the Texas Tech University School of Music visiting with Dr. Philip Mann, who is the Director of Orchestral Studies here at the Texas Tech University School of Music. Dr. Mann, welcome back to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Always great to be here. Thanks for having me, Clint.
Absolutely. The University Symphony Orchestra is presenting a concert this weekend, and you are the conductor of the orchestra. Tell us about it.
It's not even just the University Symphony Orchestra. We're going to be joined by the University String Orchestra as well. It's our season opening program. It's an event not to be missed. We're going to do Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, which, you know, anytime you even hear that on the bill, you know that is an event.
That's an event, right.
And then we're doing another one of the most ubiquitous and beloved works of the string orchestra repertoire, Vaughan Williams' Fantasy on a Theme of Thomas Tallis, to begin the program. And we'll be joined by the string orchestra to create a massed double orchestra that will fill Hemley Hall. Indeed, we even have a part of the orchestra up on the organ loft balcony.
Oh, wow.
So we will hope to surround people with beautiful string sound. And then, of course, we come to Stravinsky's Rite on the second half. For me, coming back to a piece like this, it's the perfect example. It has all of the hallmarks of a great masterpiece. Every time you open the score, you discover something new. Something reveals itself to you. And for a conductor, it's almost a creative playground, if you will, because he gives you just enough instruction to get yourself in trouble. I mean, there is just, it speaks with a poignance and a genius and a freshness that would allow you to very quickly forget that it's over 100 years old. It sounds so modern. It sounds as if it could have been written yesterday for an art film or so, or a great ballet production. But in 1914 and 1915, back when it was premiered, all of the great stories of riotous response from the public, and, you know, of course, Diaghilev was a great impresario, a bit of a showman, and that's an understatement. I mean, there's all kinds of different takes on whether those riots were as a result of the music or just a great way to promote something.
Right.
But either way, the music stands on its own.
It's a great ballet score, right?
It's a fantastic ballet score. And it's the kind of ballet score that you can almost, even if you don't see the dancers in front of you, you have a visceral, physical reaction to the music. You want to dance. You want to move. There are moments of great power and terror. There are moments of extraordinary beauty. Overall, it takes you to a different time and place, though. It's one of these works that has the ability to transport you to a place of a kind of a mind space of creativity, it's simultaneously ancient but yet almost supernatural, and it has one of the most unique openings of any work. I mean, there are a few works in the repertoire where you can hear one note and you immediately
know. That's right. Yeah.
And this is one of those.
That's
and it's
right.
it's a slightly unidiomatic representation of the bassoon up in the stratosphere in a place where you don't normally think of the bassoon. And it starts to spin a tale that I just find to be magical. And the evocative imagery that often comes out in a rehearsal of The Rite of Spring reminds us all of what a creative and communicative medium that we actually work in. It's a work, again, that was written for ballet. So the dance at the choreography at the time was innovative. It was evocative. It was provocative. To this day, it would still seem like a modern choreography. But for the musicians to hear a little bit about that choreography and then to play it out in sound, I hope some of that will also translate to the audience. And I know it will. I mean, there'll be moments where you can feel your thigh muscles moving because this is a powerful gymnastic up and down kind of movement. But there are also other places where you're more filled with a sense of foreboding because you don't know what's going to come, but your physical experience may be the hairs on the back of your neck standing up because you know something is wrong, something bad may happen, and it's hard to know what it is, but it turns out it's a sacrifice, and that's what finishes the program and the ballet, and it's one of the great showpieces, virtuoso examples of an orchestra score. Very, very demanding, but absolutely thrilling.
Right. So this is, for folks who don't know, the Rite of Spring, a sort of pagan rituals where a young lady dances herself to death, right? And this is played out as a ballet with Stravinsky's music.
Yes. Throughout, it's replete with images of nature, different elements of the ritual. Nature is represented in different ways. And then, of course, there is this just raw, visceral humanity connected with the earth. Really, it's a different mind space, this music. To compare that with the Vaughan Williams, I actually think it's a very interesting pairing because they were written at almost the same time. They have very, very different sensibilities and approaches to modernity with one foot in the ancient realm as well, because the Fantasy on a Theme of Thomas Tallis is both tonal and modal. It really goes all the way, it goes hundreds and hundreds of years back to a sound world that he creates with actually some sounds of the East, but also mixing them with something that might sound more like a chant even.
Right.
So the modern major minor tonality, the scale, is just changed enough to make sure that you're not in Kansas anymore.
You know that
you're in some place very ancient, but also very special, and again, supernatural, but in a different type of supernatural way. In the Stravinsky, we know it's something that's magical and mysterious, and something from the earth in a way. In Vaughan Williams, it's the sacred a little bit, and it's something cosmic and bigger than ourselves. But I just love the fact that both of these gentlemen were writing at virtually the same time, with the same tools at their disposals, and they came to such different conclusions that taste great together.
Right. I love the parallels that you've drawn. That's really interesting. For our listeners who might not know, so Thomas Tallis was one of two, maybe three, really great English Renaissance composers writing primarily for the church, choral music. And as Dr. Mann has alluded to, much of his music is modal, and that is really indicative of the sound that you associate with music of the Renaissance. And so Vaughan Williams has come along and written a fantasia based on this kind of music, and he's done it for double string orchestra. Tell us about that.
And for good measure, he throws in a solo string quartet as well. And this fantasia, You begin with a large string sound, and for me it sounds almost like it could be written for voices. I mean, it could be a very large choir in a resonant space like a cathedral. That's the imagery that I provided the students. And indeed, if you'll allow me a slight digression, one of my most fond memories of my time now at Texas Tech was rehearsing in the first rehearsal of the Thomas Tallis Fantasy, and I brought in a Vaughan Williams scholar from London, and we learned the hymn, we learned the song,
right,
and we had them all singing it. And then we had them sing it in their parts, in polyphony, in the way it was written by Vaughan Williams. And it's just beautiful. It was nice to see a musician singing not just through their instruments, but with their voices. Right. So what Vaughan Williams does is he has this massive string orchestra, but then he has nine other musicians. So two first violins, two second violins, two violas, two celli, and one bass on a second string orchestra. And we've decided to put them up in the organ loft in the balcony there to give a sense of distance and space, but also to visually kind of separate them from the orchestra. They're part in this opera, for lack of a better word, is a little bit of nostalgia, or at least of the ancient and the distant. So it kind of comments on the music that you hear in the front, and you get this sense of a forward and back, left and right, stereophonic sound, polyphony that really gives you the sense of the current and the ancient. So it's this juxtaposition of time and space. And then at the same time, he then features as well the solo string quartet in the front. So you'll hear four of our most established and most promising great young artists here featured, our concertmaster and other principals, and they're doing a superlative job. I also love looking out into this great string orchestra and seeing not just music majors on this, but we have some fantastic chemistry majors, some engineering majors, all of these great young artists that play in the University String Orchestra that are so excited to be sharing the stage with some of the greatest talents that we have within the school here. And that provides us with more energy, because it's also more youthful energy. You know, whereas the string orchestra is primarily an undergraduate ensemble, and the university orchestra is primarily a graduate student ensemble. You know, a lot of doctoral students in that orchestra. So we have a big age range represented, and that gives us maybe we might admit to having a little bit more energy with those young people.
That's good. I love your description of Vaughan Williams' take on Taliesin and the looking backwards, but at the same time, a completely modern composer. Mm-hmm. You're putting the orchestras in various positions in the hall, so it sounds wonderful. And of course, Vaughan Williams is just the person to write that kind of piece. It's just great. So tell us who, what, where, and when, so people can come.
So it's going to be at 7:30 on Saturday at Hemley Recital Hall on the campus of Texas Tech University. This is the University String Orchestra, the University Symphony Orchestra. My name is Philip Mann, the conductor. We're going to have a fantastic, fantastic evening for you. I can't emphasize enough that if you have a chance to hear the Rite of Spring in person, you don't want to miss it. This is one of those pieces that you remember where you were, who you were with the first time you heard it.
Right. Absolutely true. I totally remember. Wonderful. Well, best of luck, and we really look forward to the concert. Thank you, Philip Mann.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Today's edition of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm your host, Clint Barrick. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Support for The Front Row comes from the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, announcing the 2019-2020 season. More information is at lubbocksymphony.org.